Welcome to this week's edition of The Green. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. More than 5 years after the dunes near Prime Hook National Wildlife Refuge were first breached by waters from the Delaware Bay, a massive effort to restore the preserve and hold back rising seas from a vulnerable area of the southern Delaware coast is about to begin. The federally funded $38 million project just needs its final permits and is expected to get started in July. What will this project entail and what are the goals for the area? We asked Delaware Public Media contributor John Hurdle to delve into that, and his piece on it is available online right now at DelawarePublic.org. One of the people he talked to in that piece is the Restoration Project Manager, Bart Wilson, of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and he joins us now on The Green to discuss the project a little bit more. Thanks for joining us this week on The Green.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, first off, it has been more than 5 years since water from the Delaware Bay started breaching those dunes around Prime Hook. As the restoration project now gets underway, I wanted to ask you, what are the conditions like right now? John Hurdle's piece indicates that they have actually worsened a bit in the last couple of years. Is that correct?
Yes, that's definitely true. You know, we've seen some areas, for example, Unit 3, which is our largest unit, have definitely gotten worse. You know, vegetation continues to die off. But in Unit 2, which is just a little bit north of where our refuge office is, we have seen some signs of hope as, you know, these inlets and breaches have kind of cut down into the underlying peat layers and allowed the impoundment to actually drain. These are some of the areas we're actually seeing natural recolonization of vegetation, and those are the areas that are actually kind of giving us hope that, you know, as we move forward with our plan, that it is going to be successful because, you know, you just got to kind of set up restoration for the right conditions and then let nature do its thing. And that's what we're kind of seeing, that the conditions are going to be right and, you know, kind of nature will follow suit and kind of help the restoration along.
So let's talk a little bit more specifically about the plan itself. Can you give us kind of a thumbnail sketch of what's going to be done as part of this project? There are obviously a couple of phases to this, right?
Yes, that is correct. It's a very large and kind of complicated project from the respect of there is a lot of pieces. There's two main pieces, a resiliency piece and a recovery piece. The recovery piece is a project that we're working with the Army Corps of Engineers on, where we are going to be dredging up 1.1 million cubic yards of sand from the Delaware Bay and filling the breaches that currently have flooded all the impounded areas. And with that, you know, we're going to be restoring about almost 6,000 linear feet of beachfront, so creating a nice beach face where now there is none, so there's no habitat for horseshoe crabs and shorebirds to really feed upon and or lay their eggs when it comes to horseshoe crabs, and build a dune. And then the biggest component is going to be build a big 60-acre back barrier platform. So build a big sand platform out into the marsh, which is just consists of mudflat now, and plant that with marsh vegetation that'll help kind of anchor that dune system. So that's one major piece. And then at the same time, we're also going to be doing 30 miles of dredging of historic waterways within the impoundment. So this is that resiliency piece where, you know, these impoundments were built in the 1980s and they were successful for a long time, but now they're not. So we want to restore it back to a natural salt marsh. And to do that, we need to kind of create natural hydrological conditions, so allow the tides to come in and out normally. And so to do that, we're restoring about 30 miles of historic channels through the two areas. And then with that, we're going to be removing two of our water control structures and also removing about 1,800 feet of Fowler Beach Road, which is a road that's in very poor condition and falling apart. So we're just removing that out to kind of give better flow between the northern and southern parts of kind of the marshes that we're restoring, and then also kind of restore that area to kind of to provide better beach access for kind of birders and the and kind of ecotourism as well.
Well, what kind of timetable are we looking at here?
We are going to be starting this summer, 2015, and all the beach construction work will be done by May 2016, and then all the marsh interior will be done by October 2016. So it seems like a lot of time, but it's really not when we're talking about the amount of work we're doing. But you know, we feel good about getting it all done. We have some great partners and great contractors that we're working with, so we're feeling really excited.
So what's the ultimate goal here? What do you hope to see in Prime Hook when this is all said and done?
I think one of the things that we're really trying to do is, again, large-scale ecosystem restoration. We're not just trying to restore for one thing or one species. We're trying to restore the whole habitat. So again, the footprint of this project is fairly big, but we're looking to positively affect well over 4,000 acres of former tidal marsh and kind of restore it back into a more healthy marsh. And with that, you know, I think one of the things we've been saying is that, you know, after about 5 to 8 years, we're hoping to have about 1,000 acres of salt marsh regrown naturally through this project. And this is going to make it one of the largest projects on the East Coast for salt marsh restoration, which, you know, can be daunting, but also for us here at the refuge, it's super exciting because, you know, for us, we have a great project team, everyone working at Prime Hook and a lot of our other partners. We all work so well together, and I think as you kind of introed, this is 5-8 years in the making. So to finally be there, we can't wait to actually get the dredges moving and kind of get the restoration started.
So why is the salt marsh more preferable, more sustainable long term?
I mean, that's a great question. And I think one of the ways we look at it is that we're trying to set up a condition that can naturally evolve with rising sea level. So as sea level is rising, we want to create a condition where, you know, the marsh is going to naturally grow itself, and, you know, there'll be some areas that erode and other areas that build up. And I think the best resiliency for a marsh is to restore it back to more normal conditions, because a marsh wants to keep pace with sea level. It wants to create what we call below-ground biomass, all those roots that accumulate. That basically raises the marsh from the bottom up. I think it's kind of a misconception that all marshes, you know, need mud to kind of keep pace. You need mud, but the biggest component that helps it is healthy plants. So we want to create healthy plants. If we have healthy marsh vegetation, this marsh is going to be more likely to be sustainable with rising sea levels. And, you know, that's kind of our inherent goal. If we can set it up with this initial large restoration project where, as time goes on, we really don't need to intercede at all and just let nature take its course, that's the best restoration that you can do, is basically build it up to a condition where you can let it go and then just let natural equilibrium take place and just let it, you know, kind of evolve and through time into what it wants to kind of settle out to be.
And while not a direct goal of the project, how might all this help the surrounding communities, surrounding farms that are also being impacted?
Well, and that's one of the positive benefits where, you know, again, our primary goal was ecosystem restoration. And some of the ancillary benefits are definitely going to reduce flooding for the neighboring communities of, like, Prime Hook Beach and along the roads. But also it'll kind of reduce the saltwater intrusion that has been affecting our neighbors to the western side. A lot of farmland, and obviously we've also, on the refuge, the saltwater intrusion has affected a lot of our forest land. So creating a nice, healthy salt marsh reduces all that saltwater intrusion to our western neighbors as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that it's kind of rare at times to have a project so big that can be a win-win for everybody, where, you know, the habitat is winning out, the neighboring landowners are winning out, so and it's just a great investment for, you know, the taxpayers who are paying for this, because, again, this is coming through that resiliency funding and recovery funding that I think everyone wins, and it's a really wise investment, especially when you look at the return on the money, the ecosystem services, and kind of all the revenue that's generated from having a refuge. Over the 30-year lifespan of this project, we far exceed that in kind of the benefits, monetarily speaking, from this investment. So I think, you know, that's why we're all excited. It's a win-win for everybody.
And one thing we've heard is that this could also be a model for future restoration and protection efforts. How so?
Well, and I think most people, when they start looking at resiliency or kind of restoration, they get kind of very fixed views of how to do it. And especially sometimes it's just, let's put more sediment on top and then it'll be great. You know, and I think, like, the buzzword is, you know, thin layer application or, you know, a beneficial reuse of sediment. There can be a good time and place for that. But one of the things we did when we looked at this project is we did a lot of intensive modeling and research to really identify what the issues were. What are the main issues? What's the driving force behind, like, kind of what our losses and what we're experiencing? And that really drove our decision making. So we weren't just kind of taking it lightly to say, you know, let's just throw something out there and just try to do whatever we can. No, we were given a responsibility to invest this money wisely. And so we took the time to really do that background research. And that was a lot of, you know, our project leader, Al Rizzo, here at the Refuge, and Art Coppola, the project, or the Refuge manager, you know, before I came on board, did a lot of time and investment of really making sure that decisions were based upon science. And I think that's where restoration needs to go, where not just kind of going on a gut feeling, but really looking at what's the science behind, what's causing, you know, the issues that you're experiencing, and then using the science to say, okay, let's make something that's sustainable long-term. So I think that's how we kind of see it going.
All right. Barb Wilson, Prime Hook Restoration Project Manager, thank you so much for your time this week.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Again, Delaware Public Media contributor John Hurdle's piece on the Prime Hook Project is available right now at DelawarePublic.org. Up next, part of the issue with making electric cars more prevalent is creating places to charge them for those driving longer distances. Our science reporter Eli Chen updates us on efforts in the first state to overcome this hurdle. Stay with us. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.